Let's look down in Revelation chapter 21 to verse number 9. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking out of the book of Revelation about the blessings of Revelation. The blessings of Revelation for Christian people is that we're going to miss the tribulation time. And we're going to be in heaven praising the Lord and enjoying the Lord while on earth the wrath of God is being poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. Now, I'm not able to describe how awful the 7-year tribulation is going to be, but we have tried to share what the Scripture says about it, because it's going to be so bad. Now, we think it's bad in our world today. Hey, folks, we're living in heaven in the world today. What it's going to be? It's going to be so bad. But today we're going to be talking about the New Jerusalem, our home. I like that word home, don't y'all? You know, after church, you know what I like to do? I like to go home. Amen. I like to go home, get my recliner. Amen. Amen. Yeah. There's something about that word home, isn't it? Isn't that right, Miss Kim? That word home. Let's go home, honey. You know, we're going home one of these days. It's going to be out of this world, too. Look with me down at verse 9. And there came unto me John the apostle is writing. Now all this is future. He's given this in a vision, church. God has told him, or the Lord has told him to write this down through an angel 12 different times so we'd have this recollection, this information in the book of Revelation. And there came unto me one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials full of the last 7 plagues, and he talked with me, said, come hither and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now Jesus is going to have a bride, and the bride is the church. The church made up from Pentecost till the rapture takes place. That's the church. That's going to be the bride of Christ, according to the Bible now. And we're going to always be with Christ. God has given his son a bride, and the bride is the church, to be with the Lord forever. And now we're going to see that the New Jerusalem is synonymous with the bride. Y'all understand that? When he talks about the New Jerusalem being the bride of Christ, that's synonymous with those of us who are believers that make up the bride of Christ, the church of the living God. So he said, John said, this angel talked with me, saying, come hither and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. Notice that, holy Jerusalem. Descending out of heaven from God. This city is going to come out of heaven and is coming down from God. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Savior that came and took our place and paid for our sins. Thank you that by faith in him we are justified, made acceptable, sanctified and set apart to be the people of God for eternity. Bless this congregation today. Should there be one unsaved, may they today ask for the salvation that's free in Jesus Christ. Encourage all of us together in the Lord to love the Lord and serve the Lord and obey the Lord. And help me because I'm helpless. In Jesus' name, amen. What a spectacular sight John must have seen when he saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. It doesn't say in that passage that the new Jerusalem sat down on the earth, the new earth. We talked last time about there's going to be a new earth with no sea on it, no deserts on it, probably no high mountains on it. It's a new earth purged from all sin, and it come down from God. And this new Jerusalem that's coming down, it says it's coming down. It don't ever say it landed on the earth. Some scholars think it's going to be like the moon, a satellite for eternity over the earth. That's some's view. It's a good view. Others think it's going to come down and sit on the earth. Well, if it sits on earth, that kind of creates a little problem. But God's a problem solver. And the problem I'll just mention briefly is this. The city is 1,500 mile cube. You know how long 1,500 miles is? It's from the east coast to the Mississippi River, thereabouts. If the New Jerusalem sits down on the earth, where Israel's at, where it would sit down, it would cover more than Israel. And yet Israel's been promised her land for Israel, so how could Israel get there if the New Jerusalem's sitting there? You see what I'm talking about? But God will work all that out. But it's seen coming down, this city, the New Jerusalem, having the glory of God. And let me talk about the glory of God. We can't describe it. The glory of God was once in the temple of God where the ark was at. Till Israel sinned so much, the glory departed. Amen? And you know when the glory reappeared? When the angels announced in Bethlehem the Savior was born. And the angels were singing about the glory of God. And so the glory of God is describing the New Jerusalem, which will be our home. This is our home coming down from heaven. It must have been breathtaking to John, a 95-year-old man, to see such a spectacular sight in this vision. Again, I'm emphasizing, he's had a vision of what this is going to be 2,000 years ago. And it must have been breathtaking with all the gold, the silver, the diamonds, the jewelry shining with the glory of God. There's no way to describe it, folks. There's no way to describe what you and I are going to see one day. God's glory and all of its beauty. And we're going to be there with Him for eternity to enjoy it. All because one day I realized I was a sinner and I accepted Him as my Savior. And the same with every one of you that does likewise. It's a free gift that you're going to have forever by repenting of your sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, folks, and it turns me up that so many people just don't believe it. And they don't accept it. It tears me up that the masses of people don't believe this today. They don't believe it today. This is going to be the home of the bride of Christ. This is our home. The bride of Christ are all the people, as I said, saved during the 2,000-year church age. Everybody getting saved today is going to be part of the bride of Christ. And one has to be born again to be saved. You got to be born again. You can't be a church member. You can't be baptized. You can't have religion. You can't do the best you can. You can't be good. None of that will make you qualified. You got to be born again. How do you be born again? You know you're a sinner. You know it. You admit it. You say, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me. I want you to save me. And you commit yourself to the Lord. And when you commit yourself to the Lord, He saves you. He comes to live in you. He regenerates you by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It makes you a new person. It makes you want to know about the Lord. It causes you to start loving the Lord and want to serve the Lord. And if you lack these things, you need to get saved. The Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith. By grace, we didn't any deserve to be saved. We're sinners. We've broken the law of God. He's a holy God. More holy than I can imagine are you. But He can't even look on sin. He hates sin so much, church. Well, by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. You're not saved by anything you do or can do, and neither am I. Oh, we got a lot of people today think they're good enough to go to heaven. They're going to get surprised when they fall into hell. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. God gives you salvation. When you meet His conditions, I got to meet God's conditions to be saved. And His conditions is, you got to accept my Son as your Savior. You got to depend on Him to go to heaven. Not of works. You see there? He says there's not anything you can do, lest any man should boast. Nobody will walk up to God's throne and say, aren't you glad I worked so hard to get here, Lord? No, nobody's not going to do that. Not a single person. Not a single person. Never has there ever been a construction as the New Jerusalem is with such rare beauty. Now, I've seen a lot of beautiful homes, beautiful places, not as many as some of you may have seen, but I've seen enough. Hey, but no man could make what the Lord Jesus Christ has made, folks. Lord Jesus Christ is that city. Our home is a city, folks. A 1,500-mile cube. That's a big place to live, amen? I believe I have some room to put up my suit, shoes, and socks, amen? In this world, over the years, there's been castles. You know, men have made castles. They made mansions. I was just looking at TV this past week where our former president lived down in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. Boy, now that's a mansion. Hey, folks, that won't qualify for heaven at all. That'd be a dump to kind of what we're going to be in. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. And there's homes of rare elegance all over the world today. Beautiful places man has made. But none of them like what Jesus has made for us to live in. And he made it for his bride. Can I say that again? If you're a real man and you love your mate, when you were getting married, you wanted her to have the best, you want her to have the best now. Well, Jesus is going to make the best for his bride. Amen. Miss Vashti, I quit looking at Searle. Amen. Jesus Christ wants the best for his wife, and the New Jerusalem is going to be our home church. Jesus said before he left his disciples, before he was crucified, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." This is the place he's went to prepare, coming down from God out of heaven. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you myself." That's the part we're waiting on right now. We're waiting for him to come get us, folks. Amen? He could come today. Amen? "That where I am, you may be also." Folks, Jesus is able to afford his bride the best accommodations there ever will be. Oh, when you get to heaven and you see the Lord, and we get in the company of the Lord, I believe we're just going to stand there dumbfounded. Amen. We're going to be so blessed and so accepted. You're going to feel accepted. Let me ask you something. Have you ever went to places you didn't feel like you were accepted? Amen. I've went to places I felt like, you know, I need to go hide in the corner. Amen. I felt out of place. Hey, when you get to heaven as a child of God, listen to me, church, you're going to feel accepted. You're going to feel as one of them, one of God's children, one that he loves so much. You're going to experience that love, and I'm going to experience that love. And we're going to be loving him for loving us, folks. And our love will be pure. Our love will be genuine. The most important thing is God is going to be with us forever when we get to the New Jerusalem. You see, God's going to be there, church. Right now, listen to me. God, the Spirit's living inside of you if you're saved. You don't feel him. You don't really realize he's there, but he's there. God, the Spirit, Jesus said, "I've even been in the midst when you meet in church. You don't see him, you don't feel him, but he's here." But I'm telling you that the Word of God says when we get to the New Jerusalem, we're going to see the Father. He's going to be in our presence, and we're going to be with him. Folks, it's going to be indescribable, and we won't be shy or embarrassed or afraid. We're going to be just like a while ago when she came in with all that string of youngers behind her. All them youngers, "That's mama, that's mama, that's mama." We're going to be just like that when we see the Lord. We're going to feel at home. We're going to feel at home, church. Yeah. Now, let me tell you something else. I told you that the New Jerusalem is our home. But other saints will go there too. Other saints. And I'll talk about that just a little bit. Now let's take a look at our new home in verse 12 in your Bible. "And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates." So here's this city with 12 walls. Notice there's an angel standing at every gate. And the door is always open into that city, all 12 gates. But there's an angel standing there guarding. The gates have the name of the 12 tribes of Israel, God's ancient people. And verse 14 says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Think about today we build, put one foundation under a building, right? This city is going to have 12 foundations. Amen. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the 12 apostles or the 12 disciples, they're going to be named for those 12 foundations. Their name's going to be on them. And verse 15 in your Bible, and he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gate thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, different Bible scholars use different figures. And the reason they use different figures is because of the measurements, that they're not quite certain. Were they using 18 inches or 21 inches when they did their measuring back in that day? Some say the city will be 1,500 mile by 1,500 mile by 1,500 mile. And as I said earlier, that's from the East Coast to the Mississippi River. If you wanted to set it down on the United States, that's nearly half our country. That's a big city, isn't it? That's a big city. A lot of people can live in there. But you think about 2,000 years of people being saved. And think about the angels will be there. Think about Old Testament saints will be going in and out of there. So God does things in a big way, folks. And of course, we can't comprehend it all today. But this is just an idea that this city is big. Amen. In verse 17, he says, he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. And some have said the wall will be 216 foot high, the wall around the city. Verse 18 says, and the building of the wall was of jasper. And listen to this, the city was of pure gold. This new Jerusalem coming down from God is a pure gold. It'll be unlike any gold you've ever seen or I've ever seen in this old world, folks. A city of gold. Yeah. The verse 19 says, and the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones, beautiful stones like no human eye's ever seen, will be in the walls of this city coming down from God out of heaven. What a beautiful place our home is going to be, church. How radiant it's going to be with the glory of God, folks. Against all this jewel, these jewels. The Bible says it was garnished with precious stones. The first was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third was chalcedon. The fourth an emerald. The fifth a sardonyx. The sixth a sardis. The seventh a chrysolite. The eighth beryl. The ninth a topaz. The 10th of chrysopassus, the 11th of jacinth, and the 12th of amethyst. No earthly jewels are as pure as these, nor as beautiful. You walk into one of these jewel shops, and they got the lights fixed to focus So make all them stones and diamonds glitter. Make you want one. Amen? That's what that's for, to make you want one. But I tell you what, you buy one and take it out and look at it, it don't glimmer like it was in that shop. It just don't. What happened? Well, they knew what to do to make you want it. Make that light shine on it at the right angle. And you just say to yourself, I gotta have me one, amen? Yeah. So, no earthly jewels is as beautiful as what make up these jewels that God has in this, our home that we're going to be living in, folks. And by the way, our home won't need any remodeling. Won't have to paint it. Amen. Won't be no termites. Amen. Or mice. Brother Junior back there, won't be any mice running around in it. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. In verse 21 in your Bible, the Bible says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. There's 12 gates now, three on each side, and each gate was a pearl. Think about a gate to a city of this dimension having a pearl for a gate. Now, a lot of women got pearls. If any of you women today got a pearl on, some of y'all sometime may wear pearls around your neck. They come out of an oyster. That was a big oyster to have a pearl big enough to make a gate, ain't it? Amen? It must come from Texas. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Think about how God does things on a grand scale, folks. Our God is great. Our God is, he does things in a big way. Yeah, you just think about all the people that's lived in this world. We don't even have no kind of idea how many there's been. God just does things in a big way. How many angels are? We don't know, but there's probably trillions of angels. God's a big God, folks. Yeah, he's a big God. You know, and it says, what huge pearl, and a street of pure gold. The street, it uses the singular, the street in our King James. That means everybody lives on Main Street, amen? Everybody, hey, there won't be any potholes in the street either, amen? Amen, no. Verse 22 says, I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. We won't be going to a place like a temple or a chapel or something. No, we'll be worshiping the Lord in the presence of the Lord. Folks, what a time we're going to have. We're going to have the time of our life. And you won't ever get tired of it. Amen? It won't get boring. It won't get boring. You won't get tired of it. I won't either. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be so exciting. And we're going to be enjoying one another. We're going to be seeing one another when we get to heaven. Amen? Yeah. We'll be praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Lord's going to give us jobs to do. Did you know that? You're going to have to be doing something. Amen. I don't know what it's going to be, but we're going to be doing something. We're not going to be sitting around twiddling our thumbs. We're going to be active serving the Lord and doing, and we're going to be excited that we can do something for the Lord. Yeah. Look in verse 23 of this chapter. And the city had no need of the sun. Won't be no sun in that day when the new earth is made. Won't be no moon. And I just love to go out at night and see that big old moon hanging up there, don't y'all? There's some on a full moon sometime it looks like a big I forget what you call them now, of cheese. Oh, it looks so beautiful up there. Hey, folks, there's not going to be no moon on the new heaven. Not going to be no sun to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God is going to light it all up, folks, by His presence. Won't be no electric bills. Amen. Amen. The Lord, He's going to be the light of it, folks. We're going to live in the light of the Lord, our God. Now, here's something kind of interesting. I don't know whether y'all read enough to know this or not. But while we're in the New Jerusalem, did you know on the earth there's going to be nations? What did you say, preacher? There's going to be nations, countries on the earth. Yeah. Made up of people. Where do these people come from? Well, it'll have to be people that's saved. It'll have to be people that's been saved. What are they doing on earth? Well, they weren't part of the bride of Christ. Now, you don't find a whole lot in the commentaries about this, and so I'm going to be very limited in what I can say about this. But it does say this, there's going to be nations. And the kings, that is the leaders, are going to be bringing glory to the Lord and coming into the city of the New Jerusalem as they come to worship the Lord. Yeah, there's going to be a different arrangement, but there's going to be nations of people. And this is very interesting. Look at verse 24 of chapter 21. Look at verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The nations below will walk in the light of the New Jerusalem. Again, kind of suggesting it might be suspended. Amen. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory into it and honor into it. And the gates of this city shall not be shut all by day, for there shall be no night there. It's never going to be night when we get to the New Jerusalem. Won't ever get dark. Amen. Going to be a long day. It's going to last forever. Amen. Won't it be something we won't have to lay down and go to sleep? Won't it be something we won't ever be tired? Won't it be something, folks, living with God Almighty forever? Are y'all excited? Amen. Yeah. And listen, verse 27. Look at verse 27. This is important. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie. Did you hear what he just said there? John was told to write this down. There's not ever going to be anything that's sinful to enter that city or to enter that new creation again. There'll never be any more sin. And you and I will never ever sin when we get that to that state. Once we leave this earthly body, get our new bodies, we'll never sin again. You won't have to be careful what you think. You won't have to be careful what you say. Because everything you do will be perfect. Isn't that something, folks? You see what God's going to do? He's going to take nothing and make something out of us. Amen? Only a good God could do that. A loving God. Yeah. Look, and he also said this. The only people that's going to be there are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Got to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And everybody from Adam and Eve all the way down to the last person saved will have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all the people that refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, their name won't be in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they won't be there in that holy city, nor in the new earth. The gates to the new Jerusalem will never be closed. There'll never be night. There'll be nations of people living on the earth who are saved. They're saved people. It appears these will be people saved in the days before the flood of Noah's day. People saved during the days of Job and Abraham. People saved during the days of the children of Israel. People saved in the days of the king of Israel and so forth. So there'll be nations of peoples saved. And I don't know how God is going to disperse them out. But God in his plan has plans for the earth to have nations upon it. And there won't ever be sin. Won't ever be sin. Won't be no devil. Everybody will love everybody. Can you believe that? Everybody will love everybody. Won't ever be sin. Great day, what a God. And what a plan he's got, folks. And it's all free. And it's all offered to everybody. It's offered to everybody. And yet most people are choosing to go to hell. Can y'all believe this? I talked to a man called me this week. He had read that little book that I wrote with Junior's tractor on. Was my daddy's tractor. Junior had got it repainted. And I wrote a little book about our growing up. And this man's going through his sister's clothes or belongings after she died. And he found this book. And he got to reading this book that we had wrote some years ago. And he was enjoyed it so much he got on the internet to find out my phone number and traced us down. And has no interest in God. He's 70 years of age. I couldn't even get him to talk about God. What's wrong with people, folks? No interest in God whatsoever. All he's interested in is now. Joy now. Enjoy now. Enjoy now. I tell you what, it's all right to enjoy now. I don't have any complaints about that. But I tell you what, to live for just enjoy now and die and go to hell for eternity, is that stupidity? I don't know what it is. It's they're being deceived, that's what it is. The Bible says they're deceived by the devil himself. And that guy's not the only one. That guy's not the only one. No. Think of nations where there are houses and cities and businesses on the new earth. Houses and cities and businesses, and everybody's conducting themselves sinlessly. Perfectly. No neighbors against neighbors. Amen? Ain't that going to be something, folks? What a world God is going to have for people to enjoy forever, folks. And we get to go up to see the Lord and be with the Lord and enjoy the Lord. Amen. And experience, above all things, the love of the Lord. Oh, I wish I could tell y'all how much God loves you. I wish I could tell you how much he loves you. I can't. I don't have the words. But God is love. That's his nature. He loves. And he loves everybody. But he cannot and will not tolerate sin. He can't. He can't because of who he is. He's holy. So in order to make us acceptable, he sent his son into the world. Think about this. God sent his only son into the world. His only son resided in his bosom. And he came into this world knowingly of what he would have to do and what he'd have to face. And he came into this world just like you did, except for one thing. God was his father. Now, God made you and God made me. But there's a what we call the incarnation wherein God became man in the womb of a virgin. God became a man in the womb of a virgin. That's the difference in me and you and him. And he was born among men and he grew up just like that. Those little ones over there. He grew up just like them. He went through the same stages, just like any other human. And when he was 30 years of age, he started a ministry. And at 33 and a half or so, he was rejected, denied, and falsely condemned and hung on a cross. But behind it all was God going to take all of our sin of the whole world and transfer it from us and put it on his son. And then God was going to judge his son so I wouldn't have to be judged. And then God said, now if you accept my son, I won't judge you. Because my son paid for your sin. Just by simple faith in his son. But if you don't accept my son, I won't accept you. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple, folks. And God has just left it up to you. Have you decided to trust Jesus because you're a sinner and asked him to save you? Or do you think, well, I don't believe God would do that. Or I don't even believe there is a God. Well, you can believe stuff like this, folks. And God lets people believe like that. But God's going to hold you accountable for what you believe. And listen, I've told y'all this, some of you, many times. I used to believe that was the word of God. But I long past that. I know it is. I know it is. It's the word of God. It's true. Every word of it's true. What I've told you today is true. There's coming a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem's coming down our home, the home of the bride. And we're going to be with the Lord. And you know what? It's going to be a while before that takes place. First, there's got to be the rapture. Secondly, there's got to be 7 years of tribulation. Thirdly, there's got to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then at the end of that 1,000-year reign of Christ, there's going to be the great white throne judgment. And then after that, a new heaven. This world's going to be purged down. This one we own now. Going to be melted down, cleansed, purified, made new. And then a new heaven and a new earth. And the new Jerusalem's coming down. And we're going to live in glory forever. We're going to live in glory forever. In the meantime, at any second, we could leave this world scene. We could be with the Lord and start enjoying the Lord today. We could start enjoying the Lord today. Let's love the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. God's got great plans for all of us because of his great love for us. I talk about how much God loved. God is love. But God is great. God is a great God. Did you know God is bigger than his creation? Let understand that thought. God is bigger than creation, folks. Amen. He's a big God. Amen. And he's God all by himself. He don't have any competition. People think they can compete with him, but they can't. Loving God, thank you for letting me have this time today to share with these wonderful people the love of God in Jesus Christ and what you prepared for those that's willing to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Lord. Lord, how blessed I am to tell the good news of Jesus Christ saves all that believe in him. I pray for others to come to know the Lord through the ministry of this church and these people that support the ministries of this church. Bless them, encourage them, challenge us all to walk uprightly and holy and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This time, if you'd like to come to the altar,